Hi there, and welcome to this podcast where we're going to talk about power and influence. My name is Gunnar Wettergren, and I'm one of the researchers and lecturers here at DSV. My speciality is product management and leadership, but I also do some research in learning and e-learning and so on. But today's topic, like I said, is power and influence in an organizational setting. And before we get into the nitty-gritty details of things, I think we should talk a little bit about power in itself and influence itself. What are they? What are the definitions? If you look at power per se, when you talk about power, you could define it as the capacity of someone to influence someone else. Both good or bad, I guess, but to influence them to act in a certain way or to do certain things, if you contextualize it in an organization, for example. And on the other side, we also have authority, which is really the right or the obligation to assess power or to have power due to a particular position in an organization or a social system. So we have two concepts, power and authority, right? So what we're going to be talking about from here on out are kind of what to think about when it comes to power and how we should utilize power. Because even though we have power, it might not be the simplest thing to use it, because it does come with quite substantial effects and substantial things we got to think about, okay? When you assert influence on someone or actually use your power, there's really three things that can happen. You can get commitment, which basically the person you're trying to influence agrees with the decision and works his or her best way to carry that out. You can get compliance, where, okay, I'll do it, but I don't really care if it comes out good or bad. I don't really care about the result. I'm not enthusiastic about it. And I'll probably carry it out with minimal effort. And then we have some resistance, which is really, they don't agree with you. They think that you're using your power or your influence in the wrong way, and which could backfire, right? So here we kind of touch upon the tricky parts about ascertaining your influence or your power on someone in your organization. If you do it right, you can absolutely get commitment and people would get excited and get on board and be a part of it. But you can also end up in a situation where you alienate people because you try and force your will on them. Even though you have the right to do that due to your position, it's not automatic that people will react in a positive way when you do assert some of the power you have. Right? And resistance can come in many ways, shapes and forms, right? I mean, they can just refuse to carry it out, come with excuses, prolong the carrying out of this, maybe talk among the group, create a negative feeling in the work group, go around you, talk to your boss and see if they can get your boss to change the decision that has been made. And so on. I'm sure there are really multiple ways, but this type of resistance is something you need to worry about and something you need to actively ensure that you do not get this type of resistance. Right? Well, when it comes to an influence process in a sense that's more positive, you can get various types of acceptance of your decisions. For example, you can get instrumental compliance, which is one way to word it. They carry out the requested actions in purpose to traditionally get some sort of reward or avoid punishment, right? So it's very much, okay, I'll do it, but I'm doing it because I can gain something from it or avoid being punished for something. So it's not a great... It's not a great compliance or not a great way to to get the result of an influence process. Rather, internalization is better, of course, where the person becomes committed to it. They start supporting it, they start implementing your proposal. And they do believe that this is correct and this is the best way to go. So this is much more positive and it could lead to a more positive employee or a more hardworking employee. And then personal identification is basically they copy what you do and your attitudes. So depending on what you want, you might want to consider different types of output here when it comes to the influence process. But in essence, they're from a power and decision point of view, they're all positive because you get your will across and what you wanted is being carried out. But you can do it in different types of ways with much more effectiveness and much more success if you think about how you do it. And really be hesitant to wield your power around. There are so many different ways you can approach and accomplish a similar thing. All right? Some of the power types, there are obviously different types of power. The first one is probably reward power. Where really, your power lies in the fact that you can reward someone. Right? You have the ability to give someone a raise or to give them a bonus or to give them some sort of reward for carrying out your actions or your decisions. Then we have coercive power, which is really the opposite of reward. You have the ability to punish or avoid to punish someone. And then we have what's called legitimate power, where it's really there's power connected to your position. Right? You have the right to request certain things. And there's expert power. It's because of expert knowledge. Maybe you're the only one in your organization who knows about this, and it's something that someone really needs or similar. And these are the four. There are multiple types of powers, of course, but these are four main ones, I think, that you need to look for. Especially in projects, you'll find maybe not so much that the coercive or legitimate power are really what you will be doing. I mean, reward power and you'll find a lot of expert power as well, especially among the people working inside your project. Because some of them might be really highly skilled and have knowledge about things that are essential to the project. And what you need to worry about then as a product manager would be to how do I handle these types of people that know they have a skill set that's required, they know they have power through that. It's a matter of keeping them happy, I guess, and working with them rather than trying to ascertain your power and influence on them. But looking at this and see how we can what should you be thinking about when you talk about the power that comes with your position as a product manager or as a manager in general? You have the right to use your power, of course. You have the right to influence and to tell people what they do. But, you know, some guidelines. The first one, from my own experience, is don't overuse it. It has to be quite important to use this type of power, we actually order people to do it. In a product setting where it's a lot of innovation and it's a lot more creative in a sense, it makes more sense to use, to involve people, to have a discussion, to be more inclusive in your decision making, to bring them in before the decision is taken, to explain the various details, right? One of the key things in accessing your authority is to actually explain why you do it and make the request in a polite and clear way, right? Just use the right amount of power as well. Don't overdo it. Just use the right amount, right? And make sure you go through the proper channels. Don't just, even though you could, if you're a high-level executive Don't just walk down to the employee and tell them what to do. Rather go through your subordinate managers and tell them and let it trickle down through the organization. Right? That's quite important, so you don't overstep your bounds. Even though you could, it's polite and politically correct not to do that. But like I said, be very wary and think twice before you use the power that comes with your position. Because you have to be, it has to be really important. We have to be very, very sure that your decision will be accepted by the group. Otherwise, it could backfire and you'll end up with discontent employees that will probably put up a great resistance instead of doing like you asked them to do. Right? So there are many ways that power can be used. I mean, there are what you should think about when you talk about reward power, coercive power, and so on. But in general, one could say that power is a slippery slope. It's you need to be very careful how you use it, when you use it, and it's almost always better, rather than to make a decision and stick to it and force your will on someone, especially in a project setting, I think. It's always better to work on empowering the people that work for you. Lead through example, lead through letting them be able to step forward and to making their own decisions. And when you do have to use it, try and bring in the people as early as possible in the process. Have a discussion. Make it very clear to why this decision is made. What the rationale was. And if possible, try and involve them in the actual decision making. One could claim that that's not a very decisive way of making decisions. But I think in the long run, being inclusive, looking at this as a democratic process, very possible, you know, there's a time constraint as well, almost always. But if it's possible, I think the democratic approach is very much to be preferred over the authority approach, where you actually make a decision and use your power to influence them.